Hello.
Hi everyone, sorry we're a little late. We did not admit you all into the meeting, but now we're here.
All right, so I think we'll start off by introducing ourselves and tell you a little bit about Gender Equity Initiative, and then we'll get to a few questions that you guys asked. Before you start.
Yeah, so I'll start off. I am first year with Juliana, so we are the Gender Equity Initiative co-leads. Before coming to Haas, I was a Teach for America teacher, so I taught for 3 years in New York. And then I transitioned into health consulting in San Francisco. And I came to Haas specifically to transition into human capital strategy. So I'll be doing that this summer.
Cool. Hi, everyone. I'm Juliana. I'm the other co-lead of the Gender Equity Initiative. Prior to Haas, I was also a Teach for America teacher, not a prerequisite to get in here, for a couple of years. And then I worked as a project manager at a software company. And this summer, I'll be a program manager at Slack. So, why don't we tell you a little bit about Gender Equity Initiative and sort of the genesis of how it came to be at Haas. The Gender Equity Initiative was started in 2015 with the major goal of trying to get Haas to 40% women, 40% women by 2020. And we actually hit that pretty much within the first year of Gender Equity Initiative being in place. And what the organization is a consulting group of students that advise the administration on ways that we can make the Haas experience better for women.
So this year, we have currently 10 members who are part of GEI, and GEI is split across four pillars. And so we have our academics, admissions, culture, and career. And so the members of each pillar figures out what kind of data analytics do we need to do to better understand the gender equity which within each four pillars. So for example, the culture pillar is going to look into speakers and panelists that come to Haas and figure out, well, what percent of those are actually representative of our current demographic? So what percent are women and what percent of topics are actually applicable and relevant to the Haas community in general? Other things are looking at, in our careers pillar, looking at the pay gap for female MBAs 10 years out. So a lot of the work we do is data focused because we really want to figure out, well, what are the issues we are seeing in terms of gender equity, and then also providing solutions to administration, admissions, and other relevant stakeholders in terms of how we can remedy those issues.
Any questions so far, just from what we've been talking about, you can feel free to type into the chat at any time. I know having given you some context, some questions may come up a little more than like before you hopped on the call and knew what we'd be chatting about. But some other key features of GEI are that it is possible to get course credit for it. You're able to get up to 2 credits. And we also present all of our findings from each of the pillars to the dean of the School of Business, as well as a number of other high-level administrators. And we have a faculty sponsor, Kelly McElhinney. And if you're doing a deep dive into Haas and gender equity, you'll probably see her name come up in a few different articles online. Let's see. Before we get to some of the questions that a few of you had sent in, I just wanted to also sort of touch down onto other opportunities to do work around women's experience at Haas and in business. So just to distinguish between some of the other organizations on our campus, we also have a Women in Leadership Club, which is focused a little bit more on bringing different speakers to campus, hosting events around like women's role in the workplace, and also like, hosting fun get-togethers for different groups of women on the Haas campus. In addition to that, there's also EGAL, and that focuses a little more broadly on not just women, but other underrepresented groups. So just, I know there are probably a lot of acronyms floating around when you're researching our website, and just wanted to give some of that clarity.
We have some questions coming in, which is helpful, and we can address those now. So the first one I see is, how have you felt supported as a woman at Haas? So I think that's a really, really great question. Our current class is around 40% female, which is pretty high, actually, compared to other MBA programs, which just means other MBA programs, including Haas, need to make that 50%. But I would say, in terms of feeling supported, organizations such as Will, EGAL existing on campus really helps us know that there are a group of people who are like-minded
and care about equity and care about pushing things forward. I would also say just the fact that we get to do GEI work feels very empowering. So we're not only students who go to a school that we feel like could be more equitable, and that's probably true of all schools, but we're students who actually get to analyze that, analyze those problems, create solutions, and then propose them to administration. So I think just the piece of having agency and feeling empowered to actually provide solutions has been really helpful for me.
Yeah, I would definitely echo everything that Arpana shared on that. I think Haas does a great job making sure that, you know, really all students here are prepared, especially for workforce and academic success. Got another question here. How is gender equity taken into account in applied innovation courses like Haas at Work or International Business Development, IBD? So again, just to sort of give a little more context for those of you that may not know what those are, Haas has a required applied innovation credit that you need to receive while you're here. And some of the most popular applied innovation courses include Haas at Work and IBD. Haas at Work is where you consult for a local company in the Bay Area. I believe some of their companies this year are Adobe and I think also Wells Fargo. Mm-hmm. IBD is an international experience. It's very similar in terms of consulting in a team. Both of us are doing IBD this year. I will be going to Uganda. And where are you going?
I'm going to Mexico City.
Cool. Yeah. So in terms of gender equity on those projects, I'll be perfectly honest, there are more women in my class for IBD, I think, than men. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that they've taken anything specific into account. I think also the majority of the team leads are female. So I think that women have made like great strides in getting involved in those courses and proving themselves to be leaders on campus.
Okay, our next question is, it's great to hear about analyzing pay gap post-MBA. Can you talk a little bit about what the data currently indicates, what measures you're taking to improve the situation while recruiting at Haas? So the data is actually, and it's not just Haas specific, it's also relevant to other MBA programs. Our new dean came from Wharton and she said she saw the same thing there. The data basically shows that 10 years after an MBA, female MBAs are making 57 cents to the dollar that male MBAs are making. And so a really big reason for that is that female MBAs are dropping out of the workforce. And a lot of that has to do with having kids and starting families. So one thing, and this is still something we're developing, but one thing the careers pillar is looking into specifically is programming around talking to current MBA students about preparing for family planning and talking with partners about what that looks like and how to share responsibilities across both people. We've also talked about having a panel of MBAs that are 5 years out and then maybe one of 10 years out and just seeing the differences in your career progression after an MBA. And really pinpointing, well, what are the issues that we can help women feel like they can stay in the workforce if they want to, and if they do stay in it, continue to get paid the same amount.
One interesting thing that you mentioned is about the situation while people are recruiting in Haas. And so there are two different ways that we've started working to close the pay gap. And I think one of it is for women to be able to go to the table knowing their worth. And one way that we've stepped that up, and I think also allies, including all the male students at school, we have a database called CMG Bears. It's our career management group. And what it does is it tracks people's offer data so that when you go and you're trying to negotiate your salary, you're able to say, like, this is what I know the salary should be. This is what I know the, and not just the salary, where we've seen the biggest gap are actually the bonus offers and like the equity. And so being able to say, like, this is how much I want for my bonus and my equity as well. In addition to that, like, a lot of that research has spawned a student startup. It's called 81 Cents. Mm-hmm. It's founded by Kern's second year Jordan Sale. If you're able to look it up, it's just SALE. And she's basically put together a company that's focusing on how to help women negotiate better. And specifically right now, a lot of her focus is around for students that are like leaving MBA programs.
Great. And you guys can also post questions that are not GEI related. We're happy to answer really anything about Haas and our experience here.
So we have one here sent in advance. What kind of activities are you doing? So maybe you want to tell them a little bit about what else you're working on.
Sure. So the great thing about Haas is there are so many things to be a part of. And so I'm members of different clubs like Will, the Education Club, because I used to be a teacher. And then in terms of leadership, I think leading GEI is a really big one for me. And then I'm also an academic cohort rep, which means that I represent my academic cohort, which is the people I take classes with, to faculty. So we aggregate the data and we provide feedback to faculty on improving the class. And then through the Ed Club, I'm also an Ed Tech Fellows, where we help an Ed Tech startup. We're currently helping them look into market sizing and expanding their product line. But people are doing different work with different startups as well.
Yeah. Also, you know, a lot of our equity work is intersectional. Arpana and I are both part of a consortium, so that's something that we are both involved in. I also do Berkeley Board Fellows, which is sort of like small, like partners consulting nonprofits in the area. I'm an Insight Fellow, and right now that's actually a club that has chapters at a lot of different top business schools. And we do consulting for startups. And then I'm also a student interviewer. So if you're interviewing at some time, you never know, I might be the person that you come and meet with on campus or meet with over Skype. So, yeah.
What was the name you mentioned for small business consulting? Or maybe that's the startup consulting. So for me, it's EdTech Fellows, but there are actually a lot of different opportunities to work with startups. Either the beauty of the Bay Area is that you can find your own startup. But we also have accelerators on campus. So Skydeck is a really big
startup
one.
Squad, Lean Launchpad. There are a lot of different options.
There are a bunch.
I do Insight Fellows, and it's like S-I-T-E, if you're trying to Google that.
Okay, we got some more questions. Since you both came to Haas from teaching, do you have any recommendations for other folks who might be coming to Haas from a non-traditional background? It's a great question. So I think the funny thing about non-traditional is all these backgrounds are becoming a little bit more traditional within the MBA as it's becoming a more diverse field to get into. So I think in terms of recommendations, one, I didn't actually feel alone coming from teaching because there's so many other people that come from nonprofits, which was also a really big draw for me with Haas, because Haas is a school where people care about social impact. And I think as a result, it recruits or attracts certain people like that. But in terms of recommendations, it's a great question.
If you're in the application phase, just think really intentionally about like what the MBA is going to add value to for your like career projection. You know, they want to know that you have some idea of like where you might be interested and headed, and where you're, even if it's not what you end up doing, where you're going to start your career search. If you're thinking, if you're maybe already accepted and Haas against other schools,
I'll say one more thing, is even though you come from a non-traditional background, you have skill sets that are very applicable to the business world. So especially if you think about teaching in the classroom, you're managing classroom, you're corresponding with shareholders, you're doing data analytics to figure out next steps in terms of the next day curriculum. So I would just leverage the skill sets that you do develop in the non-traditional background because they're very relevant to business.
So back to analyzing the pay gap post-MBA, have you been able to separate the data and focus on women post-MBA who have not left the workforce and analyze how their salaries compare to their male counterparts? Just curious. Yeah, there's actually like a pretty deep dive on this. I hesitate to like make sweeping generalizations without having the data in front of me. But I know that they've been looking at 5 years and 10 years out with kind of the assumption of like being at like a lower level in a company versus higher, and like how many women are able to like follow the same promotional track as men. And I think what we're finding is that over time the gap like widens and widens. So even what starts off as maybe like $1,000 bonus difference right when you graduate, even like 5 years down the line could be like a $10,000 difference in salary. So it's definitely something that we've continued to look into. And I think the pushback that we had from the data analysis done by the previous class above us was to look a little more into, I guess, like women who had left and come back, and like being able to kind of separate out some of that nuance. What have you found by separating the data by industry? I think that we found that it was consistent across industry. They broke down like looking at consulting, banking, tech, and it was pretty consistent that this was not like an industry specific challenge that companies were facing.
One thing we actually are talking about for maybe something we'll look into this year is, are there certain industries that females are more inclined to go into, and what can Haas do in terms of programming or just empowerment to allow women to recognize that they can go really into any industry that they want to. So that's something we're thinking about looking into if it feels fruitful.
There was a question. So
submitted in advance about as students seek mentorship from alumni, is there a coordinated effort for students to provide similar support to middle or high school students? And I just wanted to touch on this. This is something that I think both of us have been involved with through the consortium. They actually have like three levels of support for students. One is Cheetah Tank, which is a bunch of MBA students that advise middle school groups of middle school girls on doing like a pitch competition, which is just as cute as it sounds, and at a local middle school. At the high school level, I do some work with Boost, which is a program for high school students, preparing them for like getting ready for college. One of the things that we run with them is a modified curriculum of our public speaking course to teach them to feel prepared presenting and giving their best selves when they're interviewing or applying for college. And then at the college level, there's the RISE program, I believe. Yeah, and so that's a mentorship with undergrads and sort of helping them acclimate to college, but also for, especially for those that are thinking of applying to the Haas undergrad program. We have the undergrad program, I think, starts in, it's for they apply in sophomore year for junior, senior year. And so we have students that advise those folks into getting into that program. Okay, I'm assuming that the eventual hope would be for 50% of the class to be women. What is the vision to achieve that goal? Totally agree. We'd love that. And you know what? It's going to take all of you, because one of the biggest hurdles that we've had is whether or not you're totally aware. Haas, given that it is a public university, is subject to Prop 209. Which means that we cannot give scholarships on the basis of gender, ethnicity, race, et cetera. And because of that, it definitely makes it challenging that we're not able to give gender specific scholarships. So a lot of it is really hoping that we are attracting top quality candidates that want to come here, and understanding that, you know, sometimes money flows, sometimes a little less so, but knowing that, you know, we consistently are interviewing and admitting students at that rate. And a lot of it is just making sure that this is the right place for them.
Yeah, I would also say, and this is no excuse, it's a systemic issue. And so people often cite the pipeline issue of just fewer females are applying to MBA programs. But I agree, 50% is where we want to be, and we're actively figuring out ways to get there. Okay, from an academic perspective, what are some examples of the curriculum gaps where gender equity is not addressed? Can you speak more to how faculty are encouraging the development of equity, gender equity leaders? So I think the biggest piece in terms of thinking about developing gender equity leaders is EGOL, which was actually founded last year. The entire purpose of it is, well, part of the purpose of it is to develop equity fluent leaders at Haas. So Haas has specifically said, we need our graduates to be fluent in equity leadership. And so through EGOL, there's different types of programming that you can be involved in. This past year, a student piloted something called Common Ground, where students met for an entire day and just went through discussions about race, sexual orientation, gender, and how to have those conversations. Also at Haas, and this is pretty cool, students can initiate courses. And so one course that was initiated, I think, 2 or 3 years ago is Dialogues on Race. Which has to have 2 URM students, and then the remainder of the class, which I think is probably 10 other people, are also in that class, and they spend their time trying to talk about race in an effective and productive way, because a lot of Haas alumni were saying they weren't really prepared to have those conversations in the workforce. So those are just some examples of what's happening, but I think the fact that EGOL merely exists is showing that Haas wants to institutionalize being able to produce equity fluid.
One of the things our academic pillar is looking into is sort of like an audit into the representation of women in case studies as protagonists and also female writers of cases that we go over as a class. Another thing, you know, I think that the professors are really invested in incorporating this into their class. Like, for an example, we did an econ class earlier this week for macro about labor markets, and the professor had put together like a number of slides about just like making the case for making the workplace better for women, and like what happens to workplaces or what happens to the economies of different countries when women have like more or less access to work where they're paid well. And I think that there's a lot of energy behind bringing this as like a core part of what we're presented as students in the core.
I think we can also answer just why Haas, if that's helpful. I can go first.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I mean, many reasons, but I think the two that really stick out is one, I wanted to do human capital strategy, which is, I feel like a unicorn sometimes at Haas, because it's not really a field that a lot of MBAs go into, and the traditional way of doing it is really outdated and something I'm not interested in. So what I was excited about is that Haas is obviously in the Bay Area, and there are so many different companies here that are really being innovative with human capital. So I think for me, career-wise, just knowing I had access to, I would argue, the future of business in the Bay Area was a really big piece. And then second for me was also the core values of Haas, which I think some people think is marketing or propaganda, and it's not. Everyone at Haas really self-selects, because you write your essays about the values, and you're choosing the school because those really speak to you. So I think for me was knowing that there are really like-minded people in my class, and I could have really great conversations with them about things like race and gender and equity, because there's already this baseline understanding that those things are important.
I totally agree. I'll speak into all of those things. For me, I think also I was interested in going to a smaller business school. I'll say, even just from the very beginning, that I was overwhelmed with how many people there were to meet and get to know. I think every day I cross paths with someone that I swear I've never seen before. And so I think like having this tight-knit community has allowed me to have like much more quality interactions with my classmates. You know, we even have a Slack channel where it pairs you up with random people each week to like get coffee with that you may not have met before. And I just feel like there's a sense of community that you may not necessarily get in a larger environment. But also because it's smaller, you know, you really have the opportunity to be a leader here. Almost everybody has an opportunity to be a leader of an extracurricular activity and to get deeply involved in something that they're passionate about. You know, every school is going to have a consulting club or a finance club. But here with such smaller numbers, like you have a chance to be on a board of that club and really shape its direction for your duration at the school. And to me, that was really attractive, to feel that I was going to be able to like leave my mark at Haas and make sure that it's an even better place for the next group of students.
We have like 4 more minutes. If you have any other questions, feel free to send them in. Okay, we got one. What is something that you wish you did during your first semester that you encourage incoming students to do? That's a great question. The first thing that came to my head, and there might be another one that's better that I think of that later, but the first thing for me, I would say, is leveraging second years because they've done it all before. So I think if you come to any school, I would, in your first semester, just reach out to second years who are either interested in the same industry, came from a similar industry, or maybe even just grew up in the same place you did, and ask them that kind of a question. Ask them, what would you have done differently your first semester? What were some things that worked really well with recruiting, with academics? What classes do you recommend? I would just definitely leverage the second years because they literally just did it all and have a lot of advice.
Okay, we have another question here. Can you talk about the opportunities and forums for women to interact with each other at the university level? So I think you mean like across different schools at the university. I don't think there's like one central like women's group of like all of Berkeley. But I know that like at a higher level, our women in leadership put together a happy hour this fall where they also invited the part-time MBA and weekend and executive MBA students. And that was a really great opportunity to meet the women in other programs. They also a lot came to the fall women in leadership retreat, which was a really wonderful experience. And in about 2 weeks, we have the Women in Leadership Conference happening on campus. If you're in the Bay Area, you're certainly welcome to try and come. And that also is advertised to like the wider university community. And because I believe it's the longest running women's conference at any of the business schools, has like quite a draw of attendees and speakers.
I'm going to actually use your question to make another really great point about Berkeley. Just the mere fact that you're at Berkeley and there are so many other schools and graduate programs is really powerful. So yesterday I went to a talk at the law school. I'm currently going to do a spring break trip also with the law school. So I would just say there's so many resources on campus. It's actually overwhelming to the point, but it's really, really amazing to have access to all those different things.
Yeah. Last question. What are some things that Haas or GI do to provide resources or research to female students who already have a family or children while in the program? This is definitely something that, you know, we have students who are pregnant or have small children in the program for sure. I will say it's in the minority. And when we do data, just for the integrity of it, we usually have to have a certain sample size. So data wise, we're not like collecting much because I wouldn't say that there's a significant number of folks. However, if you are looking into HAAS organizations that support like women and families, we have the Partners Club, which lots of students are involved in if they have a partner or spouse that, especially if they move to Berkeley with them. And then additionally, we have Bear Cubs, and that's for HAAS families. And I know a lot of them collaborate to provide like childcare and different things like that. We have folks that move here from abroad who aren't able to like work necessarily. And they, you know, like a lot of them live in University Village and share a lot of like time together and get to know each other like quite well. I don't know. And I would say one other thing, you know, just a logistical thing, and this is like why HAAS is super cool and inclusive. They have like private, like closed off stalls downstairs that are gender neutral for like if someone potentially like needed to pump or something like that. So, you know, there are a lot of ways that I think the school is pretty progressive and like forward thinking about just making it a comfortable place for as many people as possible.
And I would say one thing, because neither one of us have kids, but University Village is very unique to Berkeley. It's basically a little village where people with partners or families can live in. It's subsidized, it's a little bit cheaper, but it also creates this really wonderful community. Someone described it to me as like a scene in the 50s where his kid was like running outside on the grass and turf with like five other kids. So there's definitely a community of people with partners and with kids.
But thank you guys so much for hopping on today. If you're interested in learning more about GEI or WILL or anything like that, I would encourage you to reach out to the HSA email on the website. And the HSA email is the HAAS Student Ambassadors, and they can connect you to students that have any shared interest, whether it's industry that you want to go into or a club you want to join or a background that you're coming from, to chat a little bit more about your candidacy and your interest in the school.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.